Now let's turn again, please, tonight to the book of James, chapter 2. And I want to leave with you verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I indicated this morning that the burden that the Lord has placed on my heart for this evening's meeting is that of a message on the faith of devils. The faith of devils. Let's just still our hearts briefly and seek the Lord. Unsaved person, I would challenge you now even to pray. Challenge the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to your heart. You're in desperate need of God's mercy and you need God's salvation. And I would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to speak to your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the entrance of Thy Word bringeth light. We thank Thee that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And O God, I pray tonight that Thou wilt pour out Thy Spirit upon us just now. I ask, O God, that Thou wilt sanctify the atmosphere in this very meeting house. I ask, O God, that Thou wilt take every distraction out of every mind and out of every heart. I pray, Father God, that Thou wilt deal with men and deal with women in this meeting. Heavenly Father, may our eyes be taken off the preacher. May our eyes be taken off external things. May our eyes and our thoughts be taken off others. But, O God, may tonight the Spirit of God search out every heart. O God, I pray that Thou wilt save. I pray that Thou wilt deal with excuses tonight. I pray, Father God, that Thou wilt deal with the spirit of procrastination. Deal, O God, with a spirit of pride or self-righteousness. Take away the spirit of fear. Take away, Father God, everything that would hinder individuals from coming to Christ. But Father God, may You glorify Thy Son. And Father God, I ask now for help. Lord, I'm just a sinner, poor and needy. And I ask, O God, that Thou wilt undertake for me. But Father, I ask, O God, now for the anointing and the infilling of Thy Spirit. And I pray that Thou wilt glorify Thy Son, for He alone is worthy. Answer prayer, because we offer it in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. You know, I believe tonight that in the Church of Jesus Christ and in the evangelical society as a whole, we are living in a day of what we might describe as cheap grace or easy believism, where many are content to have a profession of faith, where many are content to hold to certain beliefs, feeling that in doing so that they have got a right to God's heaven and God's salvation. Even in gospel outreach and in evangelism, it seems that we've got away from the old paths of preaching the old truths of faith in Jesus Christ, repentance towards God, and a desire to take up the cross and to become a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. I can remember years ago seeing a sign in the city of Belfast. There was a particular church that were holding gospel meetings. And I know that that church would have preached the gospel, but they highlighted their mission by means of just two words. Those two words being, only believe. Only believe. And I know the sentiments and the sincerity behind those two words. And I know that the Word of God says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I know that we need to believe the claims of Christ and we need to trust Him and believe on Him and turn from sin in order to be saved. But dear friend, I believe tonight with all my heart that there are multitudes that believe. And if they're honest with themselves and honest with God, they only believe. They've got a head knowledge concerning certain doctrinal truths. They know the gospel, perhaps know it so well that they could preach it. And they believe with the intellect, believe with the mind, but they're still not saved. They have what I would describe tonight as being the faith of devils. I'm sure tonight if I was to stop every individual in this meeting as they leave the house of God and ask them, do you believe in God? And do you believe the gospel? And do you understand that Jesus Christ died upon the cross? Do you believe these things? That probably everyone to a man would say, I believe. Well, whenever James wrote this epistle, he wrote to individuals just like that, and you can almost sense his sarcasm as he says, thou believest that there is one God? And then he says, thou doest well. He doesn't deny that it's a good thing to believe in one God. In fact, he says that's a good thing, that's a wise thing, and if you believe in God, you're doing well, and I certainly wouldn't undermine the beliefs of anyone tonight in this meeting that believes in the God of the Bible. But you can almost sense the sarcasm and the pen of James as he says, thou believest that there is one God, well thou doest well. We have an old saying in this country, in this land of ours, bully for you, or good for you, and if James was an Ulsterman, he would probably say, thou believest that there is one God will bully for you. Well done, thou doest well. He says, the devils believe what you believe, but they tremble. You know, we've lost the fear of God in this land. And we've lost the fear of God, even in our meetings. And we can preach the most solemn messages and open up the Bible and see what God in heaven says about the soul of man and says about eternity. And we can read about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the anger of God. And we can sit and we don't even batter an eyelid, let alone tremble, as we sit in the very presence of God in meetings just like this. And so I put it to you tonight and I ask you this question. Could it be that the faith of devils is a stronger, more biblical, more doctrinal, more theological faith than the faith of many church-going professing Christians in the 21st century evangelical church? The faith of devils is biblical, doctrinal, but it's not saving. Many tonight have faith. Many tonight have certain beliefs. But yet perhaps there's some in this meeting tonight and you have got the faith of devils. A faith that is taking you down the road that leads to God's hell. I want to speak tonight for a while upon the faith of devils. And I want to indicate a few simple things about this faith. I want to tell you, first of all, that the faith of devils is a fact. It's something that cannot be denied, because James says very clearly, the devils also believe. You know, the devil himself is 100% convinced in the existence of God. There's not one demon, there's not one devil, there's not one demonic spirit that by nature is an atheist or an agnostic. Devils believe, devils know, devils understand that there is a God. Not merely a God, but they believe that there is one God. That one God being the God of the Bible. I don't believe tonight there's as many atheists in the world as profess to be. And I wouldn't even think perhaps tonight that there's any atheists in this gospel meeting. I'm sure tonight everybody here, intellectually at least, is a believer. But let me tell you tonight, while you say, well, I believe there's a God in heaven. In fact, I believe that is a fact. That there's a God in heaven, well, the faith of devils is a fact as well. The devils believe, and their belief even has an effect on them. understanding something of the nature and the character of the God of heaven, it causes them literally to quake, to tremble, to shudder as they think about the judgment and the righteousness and the justice of God. It causes them to tremble. It's a fact. Many Christians, professing Christians, never blink or batter an eyelid. You know, I remember knocking doors one time in Lisburn, and a man came to a door and held office in one of the local churches in the town, and as the conversation went on, he said, you know, the first 13 chapters of the book of Genesis are an insult to my intelligence. He says, to think that God in heaven created the world in 6 days, it's lunacy. In fact, he is just fulfilling what the Bible says. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Or as the Greek word is, moria, moronic. And that's exactly what this individual was saying. He's saying, you know, the first 13 chapters of the book of Genesis, it's lunacy, it's idiocy, it's moronic to believe that we're expected to take that literally. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want to tell you tonight that the devil believes it. The devil knows that there is one God and God created the heavens and the earth. He only believes in one God, the God of the Bible. He's not a pantheist. He doesn't believe that there's a council of gods or there's a multiplicity of gods. And he doesn't believe in the God of Islam and the God of the Muslim faith. He doesn't believe in all these different types of gods. He believes in one God and one God alone. And he fears that God. In fact, he trembles as he thinks about the Lord. You know, people tonight in this nation of ours fear almost everything apart from God. People fear getting old. You only have to go into Boots Chemist and you'll see shelves coming down with anti-wrinkle cream and anti-aging cream and all sorts of different things that can so-called stem and stop the aging process. There used to be a lady that we worked with, and they called her 1690. You say, what do you mean by that? It's because from a distance she looked like she was 16, but whenever you got up a little bit closer, she looked about 90. The way she dressed and the way her hair was and the amount of makeup on, from a distance she only looked like a teenager. And people have this tremendous fear of getting old. And people have a tremendous fear of burglars and fear of all sorts of different things. And so they're coming down with advisors and with insurance policies. You know, in the United States of America, some of the big Hollywood stars are spending thousands and thousands a year employing what they call life planners. And this life planner has got a university degree, and they're ever so intelligent. And they'll tell the stars what clothes to wear, what insurance policies to invest in, how to spend their money, where to live. And it's all because of this spirit of fear. Fear of gaining weight. Fear of losing too much weight. Fear of going to bed at nights. People literally lie in bed and awake at nights because they are filled with fear, but they'll fear everything apart from the God of heaven. And I'll tell you, if you have a right concept of God and a right fear of God, you'll fear little else. But if we're honest, the fear of God is gone. But at any rate, the faith of devils is a fact. The devil believes in the God of the Bible. And he trembles. And yet he's still damned and still lost. Well, what about the multitudes of churchgoers today that believe but never tremble? And believe but have no fear? Oh, you say, well, preacher, tonight I believe in God. Do you? Well, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. Let me say something else about the faith of devils. Not only is it a fact, but I believe that the faith of devils is a fundamentalist faith. The biggest fundamentalist around, I believe, is the devil himself. Now, there's one thing I believe that is such a stumbling block to the multitudes in Northern Ireland this evening, and it's dead fundamentalism. It's not atheism. It's not communism. It's not ecumenism. It's not Romanism. But I believe the biggest stumbling block to the cause of Christ is dead fundamentalism. The kind of people that know it all and can quote scripture and talk about it and even have a profession of faith, but it has absolutely no bearing whatsoever upon the way that they live their lives. The church at Sardis had this very problem. Jesus Christ spoke to them in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, and he said to them, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." There's quite a lot of people running about tonight that could quote scripture, defend the Bible, put up a good argument for the existence of God, talk about salvation and every other different thing. But yet, whenever the world looks at them, they see so little of Jesus Christ. I often wonder, how is it that as the world looks at the church in the 21st century, they can see almost every part of the church apart from its head? How is it that whenever people see professing Christians in these days, they see so little of Christ? And this is the biggest challenge in my life. I'm preaching to myself when I say this. Wondering, the world looks at me, what do they see of my Savior? At any rate, the faith of devils is a fundamentalist faith. You know, the devil himself believes in the inspiration of Scripture. You'll remember that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and for 40 nights to be tempted of the devil, it says that he was hungry. And it says when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he began to tempt the Lord. And we're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, that the devil saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." And the old devil could come and he could quote scripture. He knew his Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The devil knows and the devil believes the Word of God. And I'll tell you tonight, if you ever want to be in God's heaven, you'd need to believe the old book. Remember hearing about an old saint of God that, she's an old lady that loved and knew the Savior. And she fell sick and she found herself for months in a hospital bed. Whenever she was there in her hospital, the new minister that had been installed came to visit her. He sat down beside this old woman and he noticed that she'd got a Bible sitting beside her bed, all feathered and dog-eared, and he began to talk about Christian things and began to talk about the Bible. And then he says, "Well, I hope you don't take it too literally now, do you?" And she says, "Well, what do you mean?" And he says, "Well, some of the Bible, you know, it can't really be trusted. For example, if you think about the story of Jonah and the whale, do you honestly believe that a whale swallowed a man? And that man was for a few days in the belly of the whale and then was spewed up on the beach and went on to preach and tell people to repent?" And she says, "Of course I believe it. It's in the Bible." She says, "In fact, if the Bible told me that Jonah swallowed the whale for 3 days and three nights, I wouldn't have any problem believing that either." And then the conversation went on a little bit and he says, "Well, how are you ever going to know if Jonah really did get swallowed by this great fish?" And she says, "Well, if I happen to get to heaven, and I trust I do because I'm trusting in the Savior, and I meet Jonah, then I will ask him if he ever got swallowed by a great fish." And then he smiled and he says, "Well, what happens if Jonah isn't in heaven?" And she thought for a minute and then she looked at the old preacher and she says, "Well, then you can ask him. Because by the way things are looking, you'll not be in heaven yourself." But the old devil, he doesn't have any problem believing the Word of God or quoting the Word of God because he knows his Bible through and through. I ask you tonight, do you believe the Bible? You say, "Preacher, I believe it implicitly." Good for you. Thou doest well. But the devil also believes and trembles. And I believe tonight that the devil believes in the Trinity. Because this little text of Scripture in James chapter 2 and verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God." If you read in your margin, it renders it this way. It says, "Thou believest that God is one." Thou believest that God is one. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Remember back there in the Garden of Eden. It tells us there that God said, Let us make man in our own image. One God. And yet whenever God spoke, he said, let us make man in our own image. And I believe tonight, whenever God created man, he created him body, soul, and spirit. You see, there's one God, but God said, let us make man in our own image. There's one God, but there's three persons in the Godhead. And you'll remember that that same God was the one that pronounced a curse upon the head of the serpent himself. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and the devil knows this text is in the Bible. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. You say, well, preacher, I believe in the Trinity. Do you? Well, thou doest well. But the devil also believes and trembles. Let me tell you something else tonight. I believe that the devil believes in the deity of Jesus Christ. There's an account given in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, concerning a man that was possessed of a devil who was found in and around the synagogue in the days of Christ. It says in verse 23 of Mark, chapter 1, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, or a man with a devil, and he cried out saying, as soon as the Son of God came into the synagogue, he cried out saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God, that phrase just means the same as the Messiah. The one set apart, the one sent from God, the one sent into this world, the God-man. Thou art the Holy One of God. Thou art the Son of God. And he says, art thou come to destroy us? He acknowledges and believes in the power of Jesus Christ. This evil spirit recognized that Jesus Christ was the Holy One of God. I'll tell you, there's no confusion in the kingdom of hell about the deity of Christ. And there's no confusion in the Christ day amongst the religious crowd about the deity of Christ. Sure, that's even the reason that they crucified him, because he made himself equal with God. I'll tell you, if you're wrong about Christ, you can say goodbye to your salvation. Charles Wesley penned the words of the hymn, what think ye of Christ is the test? To try both your state and your scheme, you cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. You say, preacher, I believe tonight that Jesus Christ was the Holy One of God. I believe that he was God's Son. I believe that he was divine. I believe that he was God manifest in the flesh. Do you? Well, let me tell you, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. Let me tell you something else about the faith of devils. The devils believe in the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. Whenever Paul was writing to the church at Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 15, speaking of the cross work of Christ, he said that Jesus Christ, he says, having spoiled principalities and powers. That phrase has reference to demonic spirits. Having destroyed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Whenever Christ died on the cross, and whenever he cried with a loud voice, it is finished, he bruised the serpent's head, and he openly made a show of the forces of hell. And that's why I have no reservation in saying that the cross of Jesus Christ was a complete victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Whenever Christ went to the cross, he took my sin. And he took my sin. And he nailed it, as we're told in verse number 14 of Colossians chapter 2. He nailed it to his cross. And he took my condemnation, he took my judgment, and he shed his precious blood. And I want to tell you that his death was a natural death. Do you remember that whenever the Roman soldiers came to break the legs of the Savior, that they knew that he had died? He was dead naturally, dead clinically. But there's a sense in which his death was unnatural. Because the wages of sin is death, and Christ was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And the reason that he died was because he took my sin, and he bore its penalty in his own body on the tree. But it was not only a natural death and an unnatural death, but it was a supernatural death, because whenever Christ was on the cross, the Word of God says, he bowed his head, and he yielded, or he gave up the spirit, or gave up the ghost. He died by an act of the will. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, the Savior says, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I've got power to take it up again. The devil believes in the cross work of Christ. You say, well, preacher, I believe it too. Let me tell you, thou doest well. The devil also believes and trembles. The devil believes as well in the resurrection of Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through to 15, certain of the vagabond Jews, the seven sons of Sceva, were trying to cast the devil out of an individual. And that devil, that demonic spirit, cried out from within the man and said to these seven sons of Sceva, the evil spirit, we're told, Acts 19 verse 15, answered and said to them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Jesus I know. Not Jesus I knew, but Jesus I know. This was several years after Christ was crucified on the cross. And here these old devils turn round and they say, Jesus, I know. They knew that he was alive and well, risen from the grave and reigning in God's heaven. You say, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is alive tonight. I believe that the tomb is empty. I believe that the stone is rolled away. I believe that he's reigning and ruling in glory. Well, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. The devil also believes in the second coming of Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. How is it that the devil knows that he has but a short time in this earth? It's because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And let me tell you tonight, unsaved person in this meeting, the devil's time is short, and that's why he's busy. But your time is a lot shorter. You've only one life on God's earth. And as vapor, it's passing away. You ought to labor for treasures of worth, ere toil ends at the close of the day. Jesus Christ is coming again soon. The leaves are changing color. And the signs of the times tell us that the coming of the Lord is closer than ever. You say, well, preacher, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Well, thou doest well. But the devil also believes and trembles. The devil believes as well in a literal hell, because we're told in Matthew 25, verse 41, that Jesus Christ prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Devils in Scripture believe everything that the Word of God tells us about the very God of heaven. And they tremble. Scripture also tells us that demons have had answers to prayer. You remember the demoniac of Gadara? And the Lord came and met that man, and the devils besought the Lord, saying, allow us to leave this man and enter into the herd of swine. And the Lord gave them leave. You might recall it in the book of Job that Satan came before the presence of the Lord and requested that he might afflict God's servant Job, and God gave him his request. I remember years ago we were doing outreach in the town of Limavady. I remember a man coming out of a pub, and he was a man maybe in his 40s, and we got talking, and he's a very friendly man, and fully acknowledged that he wasn't saved and he didn't know Christ, and he went on to say, you know, I believe in God, you know, and I can even tell you that I've prayed about things and God has answered my prayers. He said, I had a son. That little boy was born very, very sick. And he was in hospital for months, and the doctors didn't really give much hope. And he says, I want to tell you, he says, I went to see him every single evening after work. And he says, I prayed all the way in the car as I got to the hospital, and I prayed all the way home again that God would preserve the life of my son. And he says, well, how is he? And he says, I'll tell you, he's doing great. He's grown up to be a strong young lad. And he could testify that he believed that God had answered his prayers. But he still wasn't saved. Sometimes even in scripture, the devil showed obedience to the Lord. That demon-possessed man that we read about in Mark chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, the Lord told him to leave the man in which he was possessing. And straightway the demon left him. And they were obedient to the will of God in certain areas. And you say, well, I try and love my wife. Oh, I try and love my husband. And I try and love my neighbor. And you know, I'm a relatively good person. You know, I'm sure you are. I wouldn't dispute that. I'm sure as far as the world is concerned, you're a great fella. You're a great woman. I wouldn't dispute that. I know that you're good people as far as the world is concerned. But dear friend, the Bible says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I believe. And I believe all these things that you're telling me about. I know that it's a fact that there's a God in heaven. And I believe all the fundamental teachings of the Word of God. The faith of devils is a fact. The faith of devils is a fundamental faith, but I'll tell you something, it's not a saving faith. And you say, well, why not? Well, very simply, because the faith of devils is a fruitless faith. Listen to the words of God's servant James again. Verse 17. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now let me tell you tonight that salvation is neither maintained or earned by works. None of us can do works that will please God so much so that he'll allow us into heaven without being washed in the blood of the Lamb. But I'll tell you something. Bible salvation, biblical salvation, results in works. It's often been said that works are the fruit of salvation, but not the root of it. The faith of devils is not a faith that regenerates. There's no regeneration when it comes to the faith of devils. It doesn't affect the heart. Let me ask you tonight, are you born again by the Spirit of God? Have you ever in your life received a new heart? The book of Ezekiel chapter 36, the Lord says, a new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. He says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my laws and my ordinances and do them. Let me ask you tonight, are you walking after the commandments and ordinances of the Lord? I believe with all my heart that whenever the Lord saves a person, he changes him. Whenever the Lord regenerates a sinner, he changes the very bias of their will, and they have a desire to please Christ. When it comes to the faith of devils, there's no regeneration. When it comes to the faith of devils, there's no repentance. Jesus Christ himself said, except you repent, and that just means having a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of will about sin. It's like doing a U-turn. Sometimes whenever an army is on the march, and the drill instructor is giving out the commands, he'll maybe shout out the word repent. And it just means do an about turn. And dear friend, if you're not willing to say goodbye to sin, goodbye to the old life, goodbye to self, and goodbye to the lusts of the flesh and the pleasures of this world, you'll have to say goodbye to God's salvation. You remember the lady that was taken in adultery in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 11? And the old Pharisees were standing with a pile of stones. Each one of them had a stone in their hand. And the Lord walked in the midst of them and he says, well, let him that is without sin cast the first stone. Of course, they were all beat. They knew in their hearts that they were sinful men. And whenever he turned around to that woman, after all the Pharisees and the religious crowd and the hypocrites had gone, he said to the lady, where are thine accusers? And then she said to her, neither do I condemn thee. She had been set free, she had been justified, she had been forgiven. But he also said to her, go thy way and sin no more. He didn't say, now that you're a Christian, now that you're saved, now that I've cleansed you, you can just go back to your immoral lifestyle and live as you please. No. He said to her, go thy way and sin no more. Now that didn't mean that she would go her way and never struggle with sin again. That didn't mean that she would go on her way and never fall or fail or let the Lord down again. But it's just simply, go thy way. Live a clean life. Seek to have done with the old sinful lifestyle. Seek to walk with God, and God will give you grace and God will help you. I want to tell you tonight that whenever the Lord saves a person, he changes them. It's like a young girl in Scotland desired to join one of the Presbyterian denominations. I think it was St. Peter's Church in Dundee, the church of the saintly Robert Murray McShane. And she sat down with the elders of that church. They began to ask her all sorts of questions. And they just weren't sure how much this young girl understood and how much this young girl knew about some of the doctrines of the old church confessions. And then one of them says, well, can you just tell us the change that's been wrought in your life since you trusted Christ? She says, well, I could just sum it up very simply. Before I ever met the Lord, I used to just run to sin and indulge in it. And I loved it. And I used to run to it. And she says, but since the Lord saved me, now I run from it. And dear friend, that answer was good enough for them. The faith of devils has got no regeneration, no repentance, no relationship with the God of heaven. Let me ask you tonight, do you know him? You might believe in him. You might believe certain things about him. But do you know him? Are you walking with the Lord? Is there fruit for your profession? We often say and quote that text of Scripture, and rightly so, in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see, cannot even see the kingdom of God. And that's so true. But yet the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Is your life holy? Is your life sanctified? Are you believing with your heart as well as with your head? You know, maybe tonight you're 18 inches from reality. 18 inches from God's salvation. And if the information that you had in your head was in your heart, you'd be doing powerful well. But as it stands tonight, you have an intellectual faith. You believe certain truths. You know the gospel. But you've never been born again. You've never repented. You don't know what it is to have a relationship with the God of heaven. And so I put it to you this evening, in love and as your friend, that you've got the faith of devils. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. May God speak to your heart this evening and bring you to himself. 248, please. 248, as we sing our closing hymn. Under the burdens of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving, who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. Let me ask you tonight as we sing this hymn, is it well with your soul? Where are you in relation to God, and where are you in relation to his salvation? Maybe tonight your heart is heavy. You know what it is to experience the guilt of sin within your breast. Your heart is grieved. But look how it could be. Who in the joy of the Lord might share life everlasting receiving. You can know the joy of sins forgiven tonight. You can know what it is to pass into life tonight. You can know what it is to receive God's gift of eternal life tonight. You can know what it is to receive God's salvation tonight. But you must come. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Salvation is a gift of God's free grace. It's a gift that you must receive by faith. And I trust and pray tonight that if God has spoken to your heart, that you will receive the gift of God's forgiveness. 248, we'll sing verses number 1 and 3. Verses 1 and 3, please, of 248. And we'll stand together as we sing 248.